Come on, give God some praise in the house if you know that he thought you were worth saving. Amen. Anybody grateful this morning that he thought you were worth saving? I don't know about you, but that's good news. Amen. It's good to see you, Hope Happy Hour. It's so good to see y'all. I missed y'all on last Sunday. Amen. But I am back. Amen. I had a great time and chilling, getting a little breather. But it is showing up good to be back home. Thank y'all so much for all the birthday wishes and the gifts. I just appreciate y'all so, so much. I thank God that I am the assistant pastor of one of the greatest churches in the whole wide world. They got some of the greatest members in the whole wide world. Amen. Matter of fact, just look at somebody. Just hug somebody. Tell them that's from Reverend Bill. He just want to tell you he love you. Amen. Hug somebody. Tell them that's from Rev. Hug the other person. Let them know that's from Rev. Amen. Amen. Reverend Wells told me to speak some Spanish. I ain't got my Google Translator out. Amen. Y'all better stop playing games. I was over that joint like this. Hold on, hold on. Speak it to the mic. But I had a blessed time, had a great time, and I just want to thank God just for all of you all and just for just the blessing of another year and just God's grace and God's continued mercy over my life. And I just thank God for once again just saying I thank God for you all. Y'all make my job easy. Amen. 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 If you could turn with me to Psalm, the 78th chapter, the 26th verse. Thank God for those who are watching online. I want to thank Sister White, God's Ivy Events. I got here, and there was a whole cake waiting for Reverend Bill. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, help me. Amen. I'll be in the gym. God's Ivy Events, y'all check her out. She's on IG. Thank God for her and her husband. Always a blessing. I want to thank God for the Beltons. Amen. Lisa and Jesse in here. Amen. I want to thank God for them. They set me up with an appointment to get a mani and a pedi. Amen. For my birthday. Amen. Lord have mercy. That's why I feel like I'm walking on clouds right now, y'all. I feel like I got new feet on. I walked up here. I feel like I was in the Spike Lee movie. Man, I tell you, they ain't just getting the regular joint. That wasn't the regular package, amen. I mean, she was doing the stuff with my feet. I was like, hold on now. She had the wax out. She was doing everything. Lord, have mercy. She was pulling the wax back. I was like, whoa, whose feet are these? What are those? Okay, I got to preach. I'm sorry. Psalms, the 78th chapter, 26th verse, as we continue in our sermon series, Fighting Kryptonite. Psalm 78th chapter, verse 26. Y'all got that? Somebody was like, what? I was like, wait a minute. What? That's Ward 8 right there, y'all. Go scream at you from the Hey, man, we also want to thank God, man, Barry, for, amen, for life, amen. God had his statue put up on yesterday, and I was grateful because they put it somewhere meaningful, amen. Because, you know, sometimes they'll just try to throw up a statue just somewhere where you don't even know it's at, like it's in an alley somewhere, amen. But we want to thank God that he got his just due on yesterday, and we are grateful for that. And so, I thank God for Marion Berry. I had jobs because of Marion Berry, amen. I had a job and after job, amen. I ain't going to lie to you. I live right here in Maryland. I had my grandmama address. Y'all know how we used to do, amen. Right there. Yeah. Listen, I was straight over in there, but I thank God for Marion Berry. Great man of God, amen. Psalms 78, chapter 26, verse reads as such. It says, he caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he directed the south wind. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he directed the south wind. I want to preach this morning as we go to God and pray on this sermon topic. What wind and kryptonite have in common? What wind and kryptonite have in common? Won't you pray with me? God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. God, we are grateful this morning for this time that is yours. We are grateful for another day, God, another week, God, another Sunday, God, another opportunity just to come into the house of God, God, to give reverence to you because you've been good to us, God. You have kept us all week. God, you have blessed us, God, on our jobs. God, you have protected and covered our families, God. You have kept us, God, from all hurt, harm, and danger. So, God, we thank you, God, because even this week, we got calls, God, about other people who didn't make it. We got calls, God, about other people who got some really, really bad news. But God, we thank you for your keeping power, God. And we just ask, God, that in this moment, that you would continue to speak to us. Give us clarity of mind, clarity of thought. God, decrease me, increase your spirit in me. Use me, God, to your honor and to your glory as we try our best, God, to live the best lives that we can. Getting rid of those things that try to keep us entangled, those sins, God, that try to keep us weighed down. God, we ask right now that you would help us to deal with that kryptonite so that we can truly be who you've called us to be. It's in Jesus' name we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. What wind and kryptonite have in common? Everybody knows how bad the wind was and has been these past couple of days. If you look on your roof, there are signs of shingles that are no longer there. If you look on streets, there are trees and branches that were blown down because of northeaster winds. And because of that, we were experiencing so many different kind of tragedies and so much destruction because of wind. And it was while I was at Starbucks this past Friday that I really realized the power of this wind. I was in Starbucks. I was sermon prepping. I was getting ready. And when I had went in, the wind wasn't really that bad. I went inside and I was chilling and I was working there. But when I got outside, I realized I had been there for a while and the gust of wind was blowing so bad that by the time I got to the parking lot, the wind had started to grab a hold of my hat. Now, y'all know me, I'm always rocking a hat. And I tried to grab a hold of my fedora, amen. I'm gonna give you the name, the type of hat it was. And as I tried to get a hold of my hat, I realized that the wind had gotten so out of control that it literally took the hat off my head, and I saw my hat going across like it was on a roller coaster ride. And now here I am in the Starbucks parking lot. Y'all know me, I'm booking. I am going as fast as I can. I am trying to catch up with my hat. And the faster I ran, it seemed like the faster the hat rolled down the street. And I'm literally trying to get there. And this is one of my favorite hats. It has so much value. I can't just let the hat go, but I'm realizing that there is a force of nature that no matter how bad I wanted to get my hat, this force of nature was so out of control that it was causing me to be in jeopardy of losing something that was valuable and that was special to me. And why am I sharing this story? Because we are in this series of fighting kryptonite, and I believe that that's what kryptonite tries to do. What is kryptonite? Kryptonite are the issues, are the weaknesses, are the sins and the temptations that try to overtake us. And it attempts to get us so caught up that many times kryptonite, we don't even realize the hold it has over us and the things of value that it's trying to take from us. That there are things that we are trying our best to hold on to, things that mean so much to us, things that are special to us, that kryptonite, this force of nature, does not care about. And it is doing everything possible, everything intentionally to get what you have, to take it away from you, because that's what kryptonite does. And that's why I believe this series is so important, because there are things that all of us here value that potentially are being blown away right in front of us because our kryptonite has gotten so out of control. So if you don't mind, I'm not going to take a lot of time. It's Communion Sunday, but I want to show that I found some similarities between kryptonite and the blustering wind in Starbucks that tried to take my hat to to the Wizard of Oz. I just want to talk to somebody this morning because I believe there's some things that I can share with you to show the commonalities of a blustering wind and kryptonite. The first thing I believe that I learned in that Starbucks parking lot, the first thing that caught my attention about this wind was just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. That's the first thing I learned in that Starbucks parking lot, that the wind and kryptonite have in common is just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. When I was sitting in the Starbucks and looked outside before I left, there were no visible signs that the wind was out of control. I had no idea that the wind gusts were past the speed limit on the highway. I was in a secure place that I could not see trees blowing. I could not feel anything rocking. So it just looked like things were normal as usual. So I thought things were the same as when I had went into the Starbucks earlier that day, not realizing that I had been there for a few hours, and what a difference a few hours can make. And by the time I left out of the Starbucks and I got close to my car, I realized that I was sadly mistaken as I watched my hat fly off my head doing the electric slide on the parking lot pavement. That's right, my hat was doing the electric slide, and you could see, although I couldn't see the wind, I realized that the wind was still there. That although I could not see the wind, I realized that it still had control. That although I could not see the wind, I realized that it was in full effect. And just like the wind, the thing about the kryptonite in our lives is that it is never as visible as we think it is. That kryptonite loves to hide in different areas of our lives and camouflage itself in a way that we don't even know that kryptonite is fully operating in us. And after a while, it just becomes a part of us, secretly zapping our spiritual strength without us having a clue, and privately distancing us from the source of our strength, which is Jesus Christ. And many times, the kryptonite in our lives, we don't even see it as kryptonite. We see it as a personal characteristic, or we see it as a product of our environment, or we see it as just, this is who I am. We excuse our habitual sins and weaknesses as simply something that has been passed on to us from previous generations. The reason I'm like this is because my daddy was like this, and my granddaddy was like this, and my great-granddaddy was like this. But just because they were like that don't mean that you gotta be like that. We become so good at denying the reality of our sin that we no longer see our sin as sin. As a result, we don't deal with it because we don't even recognize it. And that's what makes kryptonite such a dangerous part of our lives. It is hidden, yet it's right in front of us. It has no doors to open. It has no engine to make it work. But it lies in our minds and is found in our motives and is connected intimately to our souls. It is this kryptonite. It's there, but it's covered up, because kryptonite works best when it deceives us and makes us believe in a lie. Ephesians 4:22 tells us to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. You see, that's the key. It's understanding that kryptonite wants to deceive you. It wants you to make you think that it's okay. It wants you to make you think that it's all right. It wants to make you think that it's the status quo. It wants to make you think that it's just a lifestyle. That's what kryptonite does. It hides and it tries to make it seem like it's all good. You can keep doing whatever you want to do, but by the time you realize it, it's too late, because kryptonite has got a hold of the very valuable things that you've been holding on to. It's recognizing there may be kryptonite living so close to us that we no longer can see it. We need a different set of eyes that have our best interest to show us our stuff. Haggai the prophet, in chapter 1 of his prophecy, repeats the command, consider your ways, consider your ways. 1 Kings 8:38 says, know the plague in your own heart. In other words, take a good deep look at yourself. Take a look at the mirror. Be honest with yourself. But even when you can't be honest with yourself, talk to God like David talked to God and tell God, search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Because if you don't check it, it'll wreck it. If you don't check it, it'll wreck it. It'll wreck every part of your life because it's hidden. Look at somebody telling me, I'm uncovering some kryptonite. I'm uncovering some kryptonite. Second thing, not only just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. The second thing I learned at this Starbucks while my hat was doing the happy feet is that I realized that the wind and kryptonite, both of them cannot be contained. Look at somebody, tell them, no matter how hard you try, you can't contain it. You can't. You can't. The thing that was very evident, that as soon as the wind got the gustiness, that there was absolutely nothing I could do to stop what was happening. There was nothing I could do to the wind to tell the wind, hold back. In other words, I was at the mercy of the wind. And the wind was in the mood that day to play hide and seek with my hat. So there was nothing I could do because no matter how hard I tried, I could not contain the wind. And just like wind, one of the greatest challenges to the kryptonite that we allow to operate in our lives is that we think it can be contained. We become like functioning addicts. The addiction is there, but we've done such a great job at pretending that we have it under control. No one can even see that we have these demons that are destroying areas of our lives because we are enjoying successes and maintaining active social lives. And the challenge is that we are so good at masking our struggles, so good at covering our tracks, so good at hiding our kryptonite, that friends and loved ones aren't even aware of a problem, usually until it's too late. That's why we can't give kryptonite a foothold, because a foothold turns into a stronghold. And no matter how well we think we have our kryptonite bottled up, it will always end up spilling in every area of our life. You can't starve it out and kill it in one spot, but then decide you're going to feed it so it lives in another spot. If it lives anywhere, it will crawl everywhere. Tell somebody, don't let it live. The psalmist said, 119 verse 6, then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. My life isn't going to be right. My life isn't going to be without shame until I give proper respect to every command that God has given to me. That is to deal with every issue. That is to confront every challenge. That is to be surrender myself and every part of me to the sin that tries to operate in me. It's the only unashamed life is the life of one who is totally fixed on God. Every hindrance or distraction has to be confronted and dealt with. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about consistency. I'm talking about praying that God will help you be consistent in doing things God's way. That's how we overcome kryptonite. We don't let it hang around or take up residence, but we acknowledge it with every intention of getting rid of it. Look at somebody, tell them, I got to get rid of this stuff. Because if I don't get rid of it, I'm going to pass it on. It's a cancer that must be removed. Or it will spread all over our spiritual bodies with the aim of dismantling and destroying whatever is in its way. Kryptonite, it is subtle, but it's savage. It's ingenious, but it's indiscriminate. It's profound, but it's problematic. It's elusive, but it's invasive. Temptation is no longer the excuse for us as believers. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us, no temptation has overtaken us except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. It's not that we won't have to encounter kryptonite, but kryptonite does not have to have control over us. We've got victory over kryptonite, over our decisions, over our choices, over our actions, because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Tell somebody, I ain't letting this kryptonite kill me. I'm not going to play with it. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not going to let it take residence, because I can't contain it. Last thing I realized in that parking lot, not only can you not contain the wind nor kryptonite, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. But the last thing I learned in that moment, in that parking lot, Starbucks, is that you really don't have to lose what God's given you. Tell somebody, don't lose it. Don't lose it. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you came in and there's some stuff that's been blowing away from you. There's some stuff that you've allowed to get out of control. There's some stuff that you've allowed to just kind of sit and fester, not realizing that it wanted to take every part of your peace, every part of your strength, every part of your compassion. There's somebody that came in here. Your mind ain't right because the kryptonite's gotten out of control. But I just came to let you know that you ain't got to lose it all. Let me help y'all here. So here I am. I'm in the parking lot, Starbucks. I am running as fast as I can. I am running across this long parking lot. I am watching my hat. It is blowing away. I see in front of me, as the hat is there, I see a man all the way on the other side. As I see the man and I see my hat, behind the man, I see Woods. I'm very clear that if this man don't catch my hat, it's a done deal. I'm minus one for Dora. And so I'm running after my hat. I realize I can't catch it. But all I can do is yell out, "Sir! Sir! Catch my hat!" He's in the path of what I've lost. But if he doesn't catch it, I'm going to lose it forever. The man hears my voice. He looks up and he catches what I thought would be lost forever. Good God Almighty. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but y'all already know the clothes, because that's it. If it had not been for the man, I would have lost it for eternity. But let me tell you what was the key. The key was not that the man grabbed it. Jeez. The key was that I had enough sense to scream for help. If I had not said anything, he would have let it go by, because it's my responsibility to let somebody know I need. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there's a man named Jesus. He is in the path of what you've lost. And if you would just get the courage to scream, "God, help me." Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from thee, where shall I go? But God, catch what's in my path. Standing all over the church, that's it, I'm done. Tell somebody, just just scream for help. One of the reasons we lose so much is because we keep trying to do things on our own. But when you learn that there's a man who stands in your path that can catch everything that you've lost. The man grabbed my hat. I got to him, and all I could do was say thank you. He said, no problem. He said, I'm just glad you screamed for help. I'm just glad you recognize that there was somebody outside of you. See, that's why I read that scripture. The Bible says that God pulled winds from the east. Oh, good God. And from the west. The Bible says that they were on a boat at this one point. There were northeaster winds, and the boat was rocking back and forth. Disciples went down and said, Jesus, do you even care? We about to die. Jesus said, oh man, ye a little faith. Said he got outside. See, this is what's important for you to understand. He spoke to the winds. In other words, the winds may have control of you, but the wind ain't got control over Jesus. Then what? He said, peace, be still. In other words, if you come to me, I'll settle you. Your mind all over the place right now because kryptonite and the forces of nature are literally just ravaging all the way through your mind. But Jesus is saying, if you would just trust me enough to know that I can speak to the very winds and the waves, I can speak to the kryptonite in your life, the sin that tries to overtake you. I can speak to it. I can tell it to calm down, to sit down, to go somewhere. I can tell it that you have no authority here. I can tell it to go into some pigs and jump off and make some crazy bacon. That's what I can do, because that's what Jesus does. He's got all power. That is the victorious living of a Christian, is understanding that we don't have to have it all. There's a spirit inside of us that is working, that is activated, the Holy Spirit that has been left for us to know that whatever we're going through, it does not have to overtake us. We don't have to lose. There's some stuff you think has already been lost. Sometimes you think you've lost stuff, and God is saying, you'll understand it better by and by, that when you trust me, that even the thing you thought was lost, I'll replace. Tell somebody, I'm due for an upgrade. That's what I'm due for. I'm due for an upgrade. Kryptonite does not have to have the final say. But when we learn to just scream out, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. First thing is, though, you got to submit yourself to God. You have to put yourself under the authority of something that is greater and bigger than you. So that when you speak to that thing, that kryptonite, that sin, that issue, that challenge, that weakness, it is no longer listening to your voice. It understands that you are subject to the king. So you speak out of the authority of what God has given you, the authority to speak. And God can settle it. God can work it. God can deliver you from it. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm tired of kryptonite. I'm tired of kryptonite. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of living beneath. I'm tired of a mediocre life. I'm tired of average living. Tired of feeling. Because see, the thing about kryptonite, it makes you feel good in the moment. Am I talking to somebody here? See, don't let's not get started. Let's not act like we don't like kryptonite. It has been custom made for us. That's why your thing ain't her thing. And that's why her thing ain't his thing. And that's why you can't be going around talking about, oh, well, I don't do that. Yeah, you don't do that, but you do that. You got custom-made sin. That joint fits you like a nice custom suit. 48 long. Nah. We all got something. We all got stuff. But God, in the power of this, what we take, communion, is because he allowed his son Jesus to die. He allowed his son Jesus to bleed for our remission of sins. So that sin has no authority, no control over us. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm tired of kryptonite. I'm tired. I'm tired of being controlled by something other than God. I'm tired of losing stuff of value to me. Some of us lost sleep because of kryptonite. Some of us lost jobs because of kryptonite. Some of us lost family members, lost marriages because of kryptonite. If we would just be honest, stop playing victim like it's always been everybody else. Nah, some of this stuff been on you. Some of the things we lost been because we wanted to do it our way. But thanks be to God and the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Look at somebody. I want to make sure everybody in the house is saved, has a church home, and just ask them, you saved? You got a church home? Ask somebody, you saved?